Okay, the story. I'm looking at Hjalmar Söderberg's Den allvarsamma leken, and before that I looked at Solsidan. I've been thinking, should this story be, and you know, the production-wise questions here, should it be, could it be made like a mockumentary? And so on. Anyway, then I just got a couple of, I got into a certain mood there, like this. We'll stay in the beginning that this is based on a true story. What went down in the earth bore level. Or at least the Peel story. All the characters here exist, and what you see happening here happened. Something like that, and that should be a kind of the understanding here, that we work into the mind of the audience. Not a mockumentary, well, in a way it is, but it should be produced as a film. A little bit that style of Hjalmar Söderberg, Alvarsson och Maleken, but with a more interesting action, actually. Or should this all be done as animation? This could actually be powerful. Now take Den allvarsamma leken, look at it, and imagine it being made as a 2D animation. Miyazaki level, and it's more artistically adult films, such as the last one, what's it called, The Boy and the Heron. I'm thinking here of a style which, yeah, it could be interesting. But it should have that real story behind it. And the story should work, story-wise, you know, on this whole structure, keeping you engaged and all of that. Which means there should be this, because I've been thinking, for instance, about the Pio story, or the Estor line. The girls there, the three girls, I think, that when he kind of goes down and it's, it's an Orpheus thing. I mean, here is Johnny going down to the lower regions. And the lower regions for Apio is when he's there. 76, 5, 6, 7. At 7 he starts to get back up again. From this, you have these women there. Well, he's down in that world there, 97. And then at 98, he's salvaged and going to heaven or something. I mean, really, that's what happened in the life of RPO. And we can just describe it from there, and which means that it's very easy for me to write a story. I don't have to invent anything. I can make an interesting story from this. Maybe inventing, stretching myself as far as inventing what some other people said. You know, when Pio's girlfriend was there being seduced by his, what he thought was best friend. What actually happened there in the kitchen between his friend and his girlfriend when they went out during the party. He suspected something, but, and then we can show maybe what he suspected. But sometimes, and this was another idea today. Netflix, they have published at least one interactive movie, interactive film. I've been thinking it was just there all the time because the story kind of asks for it, to make an interactive book. But then I thought it's more and more became into a film. So then I started thinking, and now it became turned into a series. So I'm thinking Netflix style series that uses this interactivity. So when you have made a choice, or maybe you don't, I don't know, I'm just testing here, then you go, what are you going to do here? You decide. Let's say you have three options or two. The more you have, the bigger it becomes. But what's something practically possible to do? Maybe two. And then you just go on. And you then find yourself in a complete mess in the story. And we can pick this because I'm thinking back on my life like that. What if I had made this other decision back then? Oh, what have I done that? You know, these big decisions. And I kind of have this story in my mind, what would have happened. And I come to the conclusion that some of them would have led to a much more pleasant life. Some would have led to a terrible life. But they have this one. And I could write those three. So maybe there should be three. Yeah. Maybe one for each guna or something. That's good. And when you reach, let's say you made a total mess from what the choice you made, it led to hell or something. And then, boop, when you are there, okay, you get some kind of that interactive text coming up. Okay, not the best choice, it seems. Would you like to see what happened if you made the other choices? That's cool, isn't it? Then, oh yeah, that was a good. What would happen if you made that other choice? And you can boop, go back, you stand there again. Which choice do you take? That could work. I mean, as I said, the story that I have in my mind, it calls for that, it asks for interactivity. So I've been thinking, how could I accomplish that? And I thought out a way to accomplish it in a book with, anyway. With these things in the right edge, along the right edge, which old phone books and had like that. Possibly, maybe, I don't know. Or just colors printed on the edge of the paper or the book. Yeah, that's the best, I think. No, whatever. So, you know, all these thoughts. And yes, then take the Sophie story, take the Helen story, take the other ladies there when he's down. And I'm just taking this as an example. I'm getting into that now. There you got Pio. And he's visibly down. What is the meaning of life? You know, he felt like that it was all over. There was the end. There was nothing more fun. And he had done it all and got into some depression, but then I was forced to come into another level. And anyway, going through things there. So at some point you find him moving around there in the dungeons. And then late night clubs down in the dungeons, literally. There are a few such in these old buildings of Stockholm that turned into illegal bars and things where strange people hang out, and he started meeting them, ladies emerging from the shadows, flirting with him. And then he meets that lady again. This is again true experience of the Pio source. He's sitting down there. I think I recorded this one before. But just in case I didn't, you find him there in the, I think it's called Club 88 or something. It existed here in Scotland. I think it was in Stockholm. Or was it Norrlandsgatan? No, 88. You went up there late at night. And a Pio he was kind of at a low stage in his life. He worked in the subway. Well, he didn't take shelter of alcohol or mad things or sexual indulgence as some did, or the beer or the pot or heavier stuff. Or money and material security, as some of his friends tried to take shelter. And he was an adventurer. He couldn't help it. And then that day he sits there working in the subway, Gamla Stan. And he finds him there in the little glass hut, which is the ticket sales, what do you call it, booth. That's one of those monthly subway cards, Huttikort, I think it was, that someone had dropped, and someone had handed it in, and the former ticket salesman, I just put it there in case someone asks for it and give it to him. So Pio looks at that and looks, turns it around, and he finds a little white plastic bag in it. Not big, very flat. And he immediately knew what it was. Amphetamine. There were two kinds of junkies in Stockholm, the speed freaks and the horse junkies, or the morphinists. But this is what called a bag, and Pad was white and it tasted bitter, and he knew that. So he took a little just to test it and stayed up, continued taking that piece by piece, bit by bit, stayed up for 3 nights and days, walking all over town. And there you find him the first night, or the second, down in that illegal club where he had never been before. 3 o'clock and something like that, where everything else had closed, when everything else had closed. Twenty-one-year-old guy or something, long hair, 70s. But the other people around, they look very strange, little elderly men, like from Hollywood movies, among the mob-like gangs. And the atmosphere was very different than what he was used to from his artist music kind of clubs. And a girl sat down next to him, and they started talking. Just kind of beautiful, good looking, but there was something a little darkish around her aura. She was obviously flirting with him. But the sun was about to rise up there on the surface, and Peo didn't feel at home down here. He belonged to a brighter world, so he excused himself and left. Gotta go home. It's getting late. But he wasn't tired. He was walked in the morning sun back and forth through town, exploring the old town, looking out over the city. It was a beautiful morning. He felt, it was so nice to get out of that dark dungeon. This was a different world. So anyway, he went on then. He didn't remember much more what he did. He was working on the subway. No sleep, just taking that little powder. He thought, I might as well just finish it off and then that's it. This is nothing that I'm interested in. Just walking around, and there's some illusion of being a king of the world, wearing your body down. So anyway, then a few days later, or half a year later or something, it's summer day. Him and Rob had been, I think I must have told this before, but anyway, I'll do it again. I'm getting a little bit more into it here now, I can feel. Anyway, it starts you can start it like this. One of them, you know, appears there at home and phone rings and it's Rob and says, how are you doing? And I said, want to come over? Yeah, that's what they usually did. Hang out a bit. So he just comes over, sits there, and Rob sits with his guitar and the sofa as usual. They drink tea. David comes in. People come and go a little bit. The phone rings, and that's their social life among them. But then this night, it's just him and Rob there, and they're listening to Wagner opera on the stereo. And they're talking about this amazing opera, Wagner, which lasts for, what is it, 6 hours? The Nibelungen Ring. And that there's an album in the album stores or record shops with how many records? 5, 6, 7, 8? You can check that out. A whole box it was. And it cost a few hundred. So Rob is usually getting these wacky ideas and, hey, why don't we go out and beg on the street? Well, they had done it more like a sport now and then. Let's say they didn't have any money and they wanted to just go out and get a beer or something, and let's see if we can stand on the street. Can you give me a crown? A crown? Nothing really, but if you're if you're determined, you can make $100 or so, which was enough for a full entertainment night. It was a sport. And here they were, begging for money on the street in central Stockholm. Here coming up to a man, ordinary gentleman with his suit on, long-haired guy, in shabby clothes from a second-hand store. Hey, could you just how do you say, spare a crown or something? And the crown was like, you know, you got a packet of cigarettes, cost 10 crowns or something. Just, if that's what you wanted, you made 10 of such bags, and then there you were. But they needed 300 crowns or something, and they thought, let's see if we are really going for it. Could we? Is it possible? New challenge. 150 crowns each. But you got a crown here and a crown there. It generally worked better than you may think. You learn the art after a while. Just be a buddy, you know, oh, hey, buddy, I just need a crown here. Not that here I am poor and feed me, but, you know, help a fellow human. I just got a little, you know, situation. And then that lady comes walking down the sidewalk. The dark lady from down there, underground. And they recognize each other, and she says hi from a distance, smiling and talking. And yeah, I could see that. Well, she still started flirting, and she said, leaning forward towards him and saying, I just bought a bag of speed. I live just nearby. You want to come up? So he realized she was a speed freak. What else could she be? Hanging out in these dungeons alone at night. And looking a little dark. Because that's what happened to those junkies. Life getting sucked out. And then he had seen a beautiful young woman in just 5 years or so, looking like an old hag. So now, thanks, I got other plans, and we're begging for that grand opera of Wagner, and she, well, didn't look like a Wagner lover, and kind of just, all right, okay, see you another time. And he never saw her again. Or maybe he did, but couldn't recognize. Or maybe she wasn't a speed freak. Maybe she was an established lady. After all, she was on her way to the upper class area of downtown. Maybe she was just a rich man's daughter, rich family, who was playing with drugs for a while. Dangerous play. Now, what would have happened if he followed her home? Well, in his mind, syringe and sex. Or probably in her mind, as he presumed or feared. So we can kind of here work on a little bit on this, you know, what, how is it that we can show this? How our fears make us make certain decisions, and our intelligence or higher inner conscience, whatever, make us make other decisions sometimes. Sometimes, of course, they are the same, but, and our desires can make us make other decisions. So we are torn in between. So we all already have these three there, right? That's what I'm saying. I'm getting back to this all the time. Anyway, so that was the story of one of the dark ladies. And she is not just not so important, but more like one of the who just sweep through here for a brief moment and make a little thrill. What's it going to do and what's happening here? And all down dark there. And that's about as far down in the darkness that he ever briefly visits during this journey in the other underworld. Well, I mean, really, you can make it like that. It's quite interesting. It seems like the life of the person that P was based on was designed to become a story, because you can pick things from it. And then we can continue. Of course, we have these other dark or mysterious ladies that move around there. And again, think of this Hjalmar Söderberg, the action in that film, the way it is made. But But think of it to the animation. I can see that it could be good. And I'm wondering if today the production cost of a 3D movie can compete with that of a good, 2D animation can compete with that of a well-produced, ordinary film, live action. I'm just thinking here, sitting like tired. Yep.